Douglas Crook, Wednesday, May 26th, 2010.
Well, if you would this evening, open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We began a study of the book of Proverbs. We've had an introduction. We started to read the opening verses of Proverbs chapter 1. We'll pick up where we left off as we introduced ourselves to the book of Proverbs. We discovered that the Proverbs are going to deal primarily with success in this life that comes from learning and submitting to the will of God as revealed to us in His Word. These Proverbs, the first seven verses that we read, and we'll go back to read this evening, give us the purpose of reading and studying the book of Proverbs, and what is true of the Proverbs is also true of the Word of God in general. In other words, the wisdom that we receive from studying the book of Proverbs is the same wisdom that we find throughout the Word of God. As we mentioned, the book of Proverbs deals primarily with this life and success in this life. The Proverbs that we read here, they are not unconditional promises that will always hold true. As long as you have faith and do these things, you will have these certain outcomes. But rather, these are observations of life that are generally true. And that when there are exceptions to this, now Proverbs doesn't go on to deal with this, but when we come to the Apostle Paul's writing, we understand in a greater measure God's eternal purposes. And we understand that when there are exceptions to these general observations of truth, it's because God is doing something eternal. He is fulfilling a purpose that goes beyond this life. Proverbs emphasizes and focuses on success in this life, which is good. And God is kind and merciful to us in this life as we are obedient to His instruction. But ultimately, God is dealing with us with eternity in mind. So with that perspective, we begin to consider Proverbs. Let's go back and read the first seven verses where the Holy Spirit starts out with the purpose of why it's important to study Proverbs and why it's important to study the revealed will of God in general. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. These are reasons. We've already considered those. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. And then we'll pick up here at justice. It is also to give us justice, to know justice, to do justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 7, of course, is one of the key verses that we looked at in our introduction. The wisdom that we are talking about is a wisdom that is in the context of knowing and doing the will of God. There is no wisdom outside of that circle. Man has what they call wisdom and knowledge, and it certainly continues to abound, and men are very intelligent. It is impressive, the technology that God has allowed man to achieve. But that doesn't lead to true success. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge for the purpose of success and prosperity. And we're talking about eternal prosperity, and therefore we're talking about prospering in the will of God. So let's jump down to verse 2 there. We're in the list where it continues, and we'll consider that studying the book of Proverbs will cause you to know justice, to know how to do justice. That doesn't mean that you will always be treated justly. But it does mean that you, if you will understand the revealed will of God, you can always do justice. What does that mean? It simply means to do what is right. And in the context, we're talking about doing what is right before God. Let's turn over to Acts 4, where Peter sums up that thought of justice with this statement that he makes when he was brought before man's justice. And they were telling him to do one thing, which was to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. That was the justice that man required of him. But what does Peter respond here in Acts 4 and verses 18 to 20? This should be our response. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God, there's the context, to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You ever wonder what the right thing to do was in a certain circumstance or situation? The right thing to do always is the will of God. Now, it's not always easy. In fact, probably more times than not, it's not the easy thing to do. But it's always justice. And if you know the will of God, if you study the Word of God, not only the book of Proverbs, but the entire revealed will of God, the body of truth, you will know the will of God. Most decisions are covered in the general revealed will of God. Now, obviously, clearly, we all know that not every single thing that you face in life is covered specifically in the Word of God. But we have an advantage in this New Testament age. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We read about that Sunday, didn't we? We've been given the Holy Spirit, and He will lead us and guide us into the will of God if we learn to be sensitive to His voice and His leading. You know the best way to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, whenever you begin to talk about this, people that aren't familiar with, well, what do you mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? What do you mean to hear the voice of the Spirit? Are you talking about hearing voices? Or don't you take medication for that? That's how a lot of people think. I'm not trying to be flippant, but a lot of people don't get it. You know one of the best ways you'll learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Read the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on the Word of God. And as you begin to do that, because the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired that Word. And so if you begin to recognize the Word of God and you hide it in your heart, you're going to begin to recognize the voice of the Spirit that will give you direction in other areas that aren't specifically revealed, but will always be in direct agreement with what He's already revealed. Justice, studying the Word of God. You want to do what's right? The context is before God. Men won't always think it's right. In fact, more and more you will hear when you do the will of God and when you agree with the Word of God, the world will tell you you're wrong. The religious leaders of Peter's day were telling, you're wrong. Peter said, you decide. If there's a God, and those leaders admitted there was a God, they pretended to serve Him and worship Him. If there's a God, and He's told us to proclaim the name of Jesus, what do you think the right thing is for us to do? And so they continued to do justice. They continued to do the right thing because they learned what the will of God was. The next in the list there of reasons for us to study Proverbs and to study the will of God is that it will give us judgment. If there is one thing people need today, it's judgment. The word means the ability to judge everything correctly. There may be a lot of judging going on, but there's a lot of incorrect judging going on. 1 Corinthians 2. There are those that tell you, both within the church and without the church, that we shouldn't judge today. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever told that to your face? Don't be so judgmental. Well, God tells me one of the reasons I should study my Bible is so I'll have some judgment. And that's what we have here in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual does what? Ignores and tolerates anything and everything. Embraces anything that comes along, because he loves everybody. Is that what it says? He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. His judgment is totally misunderstood and rejected. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The faithful believer who searches out the Word of God, who studies it, who calls upon the Holy Spirit for understanding, for revelation, and then for enabling to walk in the light of that word, judges everything first in his or her own life. That's where it's got to start. We need to know the Word of God in order that we might take the light of that word and shine it on our own heart, our own motives, our own attitudes, our actions and our words, that we might examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God. That's why the Word of God gives you judgment, because it causes you to see things as they are in your own life, to see things as God sees them. But then that judgment doesn't stop there. We are to judge everything and everyone around us in the light of the Word of God. Now, when I say that, that automatically sounds legalistic, it sounds negative, it sounds hateful, it sounds unloving and unkind. But it's not. If I have a neighbor who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, I need to judge the fact that that person is condemned to an eternity without God. Still sounds pretty harsh to me. But that judgment will lead me to do what? Tell them about Jesus Christ. Give them the opportunity to receive and benefit from the saving grace of God. Judgment will compel me to do that. So what would be unkind is for me not to judge that situation and say, oh, you know, he's a good person. I think he's okay. I'm not going to judge him. Do you see how unkind not judging is in the context of what we're talking about? You are to look at those around you, every circumstance, every situation, in the light of the Word of God, say what God says about it, and act accordingly. We understand that there is coming the ultimate judgment of God, and that is not going to be pleasant for those who fall under it. But part of our judging now is understanding that this is the age of God's grace. And we need to judge that. And we need to be faithful to proclaim the Word of God to whosoever will. If we are ignorant of the Word of God, we will make poor decisions. We will make incorrect decisions. In fact, we will make harmful judgments about ourselves and about those around us. So we need to know the Word of God, don't we? We need to study the Word of God. This is what these verses are saying. These things are only produced in you through the Word of God. Nowhere else. The seventh purpose or benefit of studying God's Word, it will produce in you equity. The word equity means integrity of motives and morals. God's people need equity. But it doesn't come from any other source but from knowing the will of God and obeying it. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12, here we see equity manifested in the life of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. One of the greatest reproaches to the gospel of Jesus Christ is the lack of integrity of God's people. We see it over and over and over again, where God's people make choices of sin and carnality after having boasted in being a servant of Christ or a follower of Christ, and then they miserably fail and the world laughs and mocks. They were looking for any reason to laugh and mock, and even if they don't find it, they're going to laugh and mock. But how sad it is when God's people, by their testimony, their lack of integrity, give them fuel for their scoffing. I'm glad for men and women like the Apostle Paul who have this testimony. For our boasting, verse 12, is this: the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity. Most of you are familiar. The word means single-mindedness and godly sincerity. That word means to be judged by the sun's rays. In other words, nothing's hidden. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. Do you want to be a man or a woman of integrity? Do you want to be a young person of integrity? You can be. You should be. But the only way for you to have this kind of integrity that is single-mindedness. And what is the single goal? What should be the single goal of the believer? I'm going to throw it out here. What's the first thing that pops in your head? What should be for every believer? What should be the single? And there may be a number of answers that point us in the same direction, so don't be afraid to tell me. What do you think should be the single purpose of every believer? What's that? Please Jesus. In the will of God? Anyone else? Those are, Tom? Glorify God. And you see how all of these are going in the same direction? Win the prize. That falls under what is the will of God? That we win Christ. And so that encompasses a whole lot of things, doesn't it? It encompasses all sound doctrine because it goes everything. That's the foundation that leads to that apex of winning Christ. So all of these things should be the single thing. So now apply that to life. All right, let's start with the young people because Proverbs kind of targets them. You know, so where do you start out? What's your goal? Well, you know, I want to get married. I want to make a lot of money. I want to... Now, I'm not making fun of those things because all those things are good goals. And all those things are part of life. And many of them, as we do these things that we talked about, as we are single-minded, those are actually gifts from God. That was a Prince in Power of the Air speaking there. No? But those aren't the single-minded things that are to direct us, are they? I want the will of God. And when that is always the single focus, then everything else falls under that, which includes these other things I mentioned. You know, well, who do I marry? Who is God's gift to me? Same thing with a career. God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Everything else follows under that one single thing. Please Jesus. Glorify the Lord. Win Christ. That's that integrity. Single-mindedness. that will lead to the sincerity of having a life that is completely open, not only to God, but to everyone around you. You're not on some, you don't have some hidden motive for what you're doing. Now, people will misunderstand and they will think that you're, many times they will accuse you of bad motives and false motives. But as long as you continue with this equity, this integrity that comes from knowing the will of God, studying the Word of God, and applying it to your life, you know that ultimately the judge of heaven and earth is going to have the final word. No, he or she was right. They had integrity. Number 8 in the list there, prudence. Prudence means discretion and good sense in business transactions or generally in the day-to-day choices of life. To have good discretion, to make wise decisions. Those of us that have a few years under our belts, we understand how important it is to make the right decision the first time. Because most of us can tell you about the bad decisions that we made and the consequences of it. It's because we lack prudence. And in almost every case where we have made a bad decision that's left negative consequences, we can point right specifically to areas where we chose to ignore or disobey the revealed will of God. And more often than not, it's not one of these, I just didn't know. It's I knew and I didn't care. It's I knew and I ignored it anyway because I thought I knew better. I thought I was wiser than God. That's the arrogance of a fool that we will continue to read about throughout the Proverbs. But we need to be prudent in our business, in our transactions, our day-to-day transactions. A lot of these things, of course, are closely connected. Integrity, of course, is closely related to what we're talking about. But prudence specifically has to do with making smart decisions in your business and your day-to-day life. Matthew 10, Jesus himself spoke of this need. And once again, prudence comes only from knowing the Word of God and obeying it. You can take an ethics class in whatever branch of business you're in. You may pick up some good tips, but there's nothing in those ethic classes that gives you the power to be ethical. The Word of God is powerful. For the child of God, we have the very life of Christ within us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us, and we have the Word of God that works in us. So there's power to be prudent. But you have to know and yield to the Word of God. Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus himself said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, why would Jesus tell his disciples to be like snakes? He's talking about prudence. This is the characteristic that he's referring to. Be prudent. Now, be harmless. Don't be like a snake in that you are harmful to people, but be smart in everything that you do, in your interaction with the world. 1 Samuel 18:5. To me, one of the most graphic illustrations of this virtue of prudence is seen in the life of young David. in his day-to-day activities, he was prudent. And I believe he was prudent because he was a man of faith from his youth. He knew the will of God, the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. And so we see one of the things that that accomplished in him, that produced in him, and it's his prudence, 1 Samuel 18:5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. This is the same thought of prudence. Behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Jump down to verse 14, same chapter. Verse 14. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Again, jump down to verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. The Word of God will give you prudence to live a life that's pleasing to Him, and because of that, it will be profitable for us, and others around us will benefit. When you live prudently, others benefit from that, and God is glorified. Now, once again, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to pat you on the back and say, what a good Christian you are. Some of them will laugh at you. Some of them will say, oh, you think you're so holy, more holy than everyone else. You'll get a lot of that. But when it's all said and done, God will honor those who honor Him. And ultimately, all will know that God put His approval on your life. Sometimes that's seen in a measure in this life. But if it's not, it certainly will be in eternity. The ninth benefit of studying the Word of God that leads to making us wise and successful in life and in eternity is knowledge. This is kind of a general term, but it means sound information. Let's go to Psalm 12. The 12th Psalm, verse 6. Since wisdom is the proper use of knowledge in a way that leads to success, you have to have sound, reliable information or knowledge. And that's only found in one place. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is one of many passages in the Word of God that give us the assurance of the soundness of God's Word, of the Bible. Much of the so-called wisdom of this world is constantly being updated and corrected because it's been proven to be wrong. And every aspect of the wisdom and knowledge of man that contradicts the Word of God, you can rest assured it will one day be exposed as being false, corrupt, and unsound. But the Word of God never needs to be updated. It never needs to be corrected because it's eternally true and relevant. There are those today that say that the Bible is out of date and out of touch with society. I have never found the Bible to be more relevant than in this day. And it's always been relevant. But what I see in the Word of God and what I see in the world and society, I say, thank God I've got sound information. Thank God for sound information. Because there's a lot of misinformation out there. The last one, discretion. When I say the last one, there are others you could look at. We've kind of grouped some of these other, the enigma and the riddles, as part of the earlier benefits that we looked at. You can break this up in a number of different ways, but I think these 10 give us a good idea of the direction that we're going here with the study of Proverbs. We need to know the Word of God. If we want to be successful in life, and if we want to be successful in eternity, you have to know and surrender your life to the revealed will of God. It will give you discretion. Discretion is wisdom to do or say the right thing at the right moment. Oh boy, do we need this one. This is maybe the area where I have failed the most and where I cry out to the Lord the most. Lord, give me wisdom what to say and when to say it. Because there's a time to say it and there's a time not to say it. And it's hard. But a lot of that discretion comes just by reading the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. And then that second part of what we have in this church age, to learn to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's been times when the Holy Spirit gave me a check and said, Doug, now's not the time. Not that what I was going to say was wrong. In fact, it was right. But I've had checks from the Holy Spirit that says, not now. And there have been times when I've ignored it. And guess what? It didn't turn out well. But thank God I've also had some experiences where I've learned. Okay. And then there have been times when I really didn't want to say anything because I knew how it was going to be received. And the Holy Spirit says, you got to say it. I don't want to say it. There have been times when I didn't. Guess what? It didn't turn out well. We need discretion. We need to know the Word of God. We need to hear the voice of the Spirit. Proverbs 25:11 sums it up this way. A word fitly spoken, the right word at the right time, the discreet word, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's just beautiful. Valuable. I want that discretion, don't you? We need it. The Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the Word of God to speak it at the right time if we've hidden it there. But I have found and I've counseled many Christians that in a moment when they needed to give a fitly spoken word to someone, they reached into the reservoir and guess what? There was nothing there. Because they failed to hide the Word of God there. So there was no fit word to give, no word of discretion. So we have to fill the treasure chest. And then the Holy Spirit will, at the right moment, at the right time, pull out what we need to bring Him glory and to benefit those that we speak to. Well, I think rather than go on to the next passage, we'll call that good for this evening. So many benefits to studying and knowing the Word of God and the will of God. I want to be successful. I want my children to be successful. I want our young people and children of this assembly to be successful in life. And this is why we put so much emphasis and stress on teaching the Word of God. I appreciated Christine's testimony last Sunday night as she went off into the world of college. She was grateful that she had a foundation that she received in this little assembly. That gave her these things, discretion. She didn't say all of this, but this was the foundation of what she was saying. The discretion, the integrity, all of these things were developed and are being developed, not only in her, but in all of us. But it didn't come from entertainment or programs or professional singing. It came from an understanding of the Word of God. And that's what leads to success in life, and more importantly, it leads to success in eternity. I thank God for the Word of God, don't you? What a privilege, what a value. What a wealth we've been given. Let's stand and give thanks to the Lord for His goodness to us.